honest, how many A-levels have you got?
23.
23 A-levels, ladies and gentlemen, this boy. 23 A-levels in mathematics.
That's right.
Am I right?
Well, 17 A-levels in mathematics and another two making 23.
In maths?
In maths, yes.
Can you define 45,000 acres with a Fahrenheit?
Yes.
And have you, Ernie Wise, got the correct answer?
I most certainly have.
This boy is brilliant, didn't I tell you?
Thank you.
That was a tricky one, wasn't it?
Oh, very tricky, that one.
Some of them are, you know.
Yes, I know.
I help you, you help me, and that's
the
way it goes.
Goes.
Right, now, answer this one. Mm-hmm. How many full stops are there in a bottle of ink?
49,224.
Or one very large one. Boom.
The best of British laughs this week are provided by two of England's funniest funny men, the miraculous Morecambe and Wise. Well, Eric, Ernie, it's good of you to come on the programme. It seems almost a lifetime since I first saw you perform, and you've been consistently successful now for many years. But before we get on to the great years, can you tell us a little about your early days, the times when you weren't so successful?
Well, don't you remember the time when we met you on the station?
Where was that? I don't remember.
We met him on a station, yes.
Oh, yeah. Crew, probably.
Crew, it was. What's crew? And you were wearing a bowler hat.
Yes.
That was all. That was it.
Trying to look distinguished.
Oh, yes. Just the bowler hat. It was getting laughs at the time.
You came up with a whole lot of people who, all of you, become stars in your own way.
Yeah.
I suppose Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe.
Yeah.
But we Harry Worth and so on.
We weren't in the Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe setup, were we?
No, we were even before that. We were 39. Yeah. You know, we started in 39.
Yes. Mm. We were Harry Worth, weren't we?
Was never Harry Worth, no.
Norman Vaughan, that time.
Billy Dainty.
Billy Dainty.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. 1940, we started.
Together?
41, I think we started together, wasn't it? Liverpool Empire.
Mm. Yeah, we met at Swansea. Mm.
And this was when you were with Brian Mickey.
That's right.
Yes. And we were both doing single acts. Tell him what you were doing. You were doing I'm Not All There, weren't you?
It's no good telling him now, you've told him. Because I was doing a song called I'm Not All There, and Ernie was doing a song called Oh Yes He Is.
I was a song and dance man.
Song and dance man.
Straw hat, you know, white coat, immaculate foil. And Eric was... Droll comedian. On the Jack Pleasant style. He used to wear a beret and had a big lollipop and a big pin.
That's right.
And when you started working together, this was whose idea was it? I mean,
my mother's.
Your mother's.
Your mother's.
Mm. She never really liked me. No, it was my mother's idea because she used to tour with me in those days because I was only 13, 14, and she took Ernie under her wing as well. Because my mother's a chicken, you know.
And we needed the eggs.
Yes, we wouldn't leave the eggs. And she looked after us both, and it was her basic idea that we got together.
And we were working on the bills with Double X. Double X were reasonably popular in those days. They went out of style later on, but those were the days of Moon and Bentley. Georgie Moon and Dick Bentley.
Oh, yeah.
You should do a Double X together.
And...
And then Dick left, didn't he?
Then Dick left, and it was Moon and Brown, Burton Brown. And we used to work with, what other double acts as well? Well, there were the days of the big Flanagan and Allen, weren't they? And Jimmy and Ben were very big then.
That's right, and acts like Clifford and Marion, Man and Woman Act, and...
Wright and Marion.
Wright and Marion, Clifford and Marion, people like that.
But they've all disappeared now. You don't get the Man and Woman...
There's certainly no Man and Woman double acts. There are a few all-male double acts.
Yes. The market's wide.
I think the nearest man and woman double act now is Ernie and I would think. That's about the nearest man and woman act.
Well, you've created a very funny situation, I think, that because you're so successful, I won't say because you're so good, because your heads will swell and you won't get out of the studio.
But it's true.
You have created a situation where it's very difficult for anybody else to get in. I mean, it's not that that you're keeping them out directly, but... You know, who can follow that? The old...
Well, not anybody, quite honestly, I think, personally. I mean, quite honest now, because they said this about Jimmy and Ben when Jimmy and Ben were big, few years ago. Who can follow Jimmy and Ben? Mm.
But somebody will.
But somebody does. Who follows Abbott and Costello? Martin Lewis followed Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, that's true.
Who could follow Laurel and Hardy? I mean, let's say they were the supreme to me.
We've gone into depth. I think we've examined it in depth.
But there must be some... There's two fellas somewhere now who are going to get together one of these days, yes. And they're going to be Charlie Brown and Jack Smith, and Morecambe and Wise are going to end up as Morton and White.
Yeah.
You know, well, people say, I remember, one of them had glasses and the other fellow was quite ugly.
What are you doing? What?
The only thing I can say is, somebody up there liked you. To have given you such a magnificent body.
What about my body?
Turn around slowly.
Turn around slowly?
Turn around slowly, let's have a look. Ern?
Yes?
You are the pocket Hercules.
I suppose you're right. Yes.
Do you know that when you move like you did just then?
Yes.
You can see all your manliness rippling underneath your seat.
Can you really?
Oh, yes.
That's wonderful. That really is marvelous.
It is.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know why, don't you?
No.
I keep myself in trim, you know.
Do you really?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, it's obvious. Because all your muscles are rippling underneath that suit. When you walk,
yes.
You look just like a sack of walnuts. Yeah. I'm not kidding. All live.
Yes.
And the noise as well.
Yeah, well, what's so marvellous about my magnificent body?
You can make a fortune with a body like that.
Do you think so?
Oh, I wouldn't kid you.
Come here.
Yes.
How could I make a fortune?
How? Male model.
Male model?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, you go pose for the students down at the universities.
But I'm only little.
All the better.
Well, how do you mean?
They won't use up so much paint then, will they? Don't forget, there's a lot of money to be made in art and paintings.
Oh, I know that. My auntie's got a whistler.
Now, there's a novelty.
You've managed to create so much an atmosphere of a thing really happening, deep emotional involvement, on top of which you put the jokes. And I think that this is the thing that has really crystallised your stardom, if I may use that phrase.
Yeah.
Because you go further than just being joke tellers.
Yeah.
And that seems to be terribly important.
This, in my opinion, this has come from writing, from the writers. It was started really with Sid and Dick.
Sid and Dick, yes.
Where they put us into situations and gave us words other than jokes.
Yes.
Gave us sentences to say without a laugh at the end of it. Mm. And normally we were one-liners in those days. You know, it was just you've got to say one line. If it doesn't get a laugh, we would panic.
What did the Chinaman say to the blum 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 blum? You've had a funny answer, didn't you?
Well, not to a joke like that, I would. Yeah. But yeah. It was that type of thing.
Yeah.
And but Sid and Dick got a little deeper. Now Eddie Braben has got even deeper than what Sid and Dick went. You see,
but they couldn't do that without you having that. So giving them the lead. I mean, I, as a writer myself, I know that unless the comedian gives you a lead, there's nothing you can do to clothe the personality with ideas. I mean, I remember seeing you a lot in Variety, and although your act was much simpler than it is today, I mean, it was a much more toing and froing thing.
That's right.
Between you.
Straight man and comic it was then.
You still created a tremendous atmosphere in a theatre.
Yeah.
Now, you don't mistake what I'm going to say now, but the only other people I've ever seen do this were Elsie and Doris Waters. They were superb.
What happens, I think, is the longer you're together, the better it must be for you, as a double act, obviously. I also feel that confidence has got a lot to do with it. You'll say something one night that will get a laugh that is not a joke, you know, and then gradually you will build on that kind of statement, and you'll try something else. That won't get a laugh. But, I mean, the following night, you'll try something else, and it will get a laugh.
And if you're going to move forward, the initial stages of the comedy, it's all very light top surface stuff. This is what you notice with, say, new double acts and things. It's all very top surface. You've got to get the relationship in depth. And the more you progress, you have to find the other facets of the comedy all the time.
All comics are impressionists, really.
Really?
Well, they're all impressionists. I feel that they are. They've got to be, to go out there and they do something off somebody's first, somewhere along the line. Nobody goes out with a completely new, original idea that they have thought of. At least I don't think so.
Well, at the beginning, we used to copy all of them, didn't we, in the long run?
Oh, yeah. And then you develop your own style, which is going back to the confidence again.
Yeah. obviously your work becomes is very important to the to people. Do you feel that sort of sense of its
importance? We feel it more so now than we've felt before.
Didn't they say this was about Tony Hancock or something when he was on The Streets Were Deserted? The whole of England was watching him, you know. That's a bit of a responsibility, isn't it? Gets a bit frightening.
It does, because I think it's all based on fear, you know, the comic or comics. Mm. You get very frightened of it, you know. I do. I really do. Oh, yeah.
Well,
I
mean, you know,
it's your standard.
Yeah, everybody's expecting you to be fabulous.
You wake up and you think, ooh, how long is it going to last? Well,
yeah.
You know, what's the next show going to be like?
That's right.
How about the next series? And what are we going to do at Christmas? And it's the future that you worry about.
At one time, we used to do shows, and not everybody saw them, so it didn't really matter. You know, it's like being second spot on a bill. You can do well or not. But when everybody sees it, and everybody's hanging on to every word, and then everybody's saying, wasn't
very
so good,
or not so good this week. But the standard was still high.
Yeah.
That's what we go for. We go for a high standard on the series, if we can.
That's amazing, that, when you do that.
What's amazing? I only sneeze.
I know, but when you sneeze like that, your wig lifts about half an inch. It's all daylight. Lovely, that.
I was expecting a bit of sympathy. I should have known better.
A lot of flu about.
Yeah, I know that.
Nasty thing, flu.
You don't have to tell me, I know.
You can die from flu.
Thanks very much.
I'll be all right, though.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I had the injection, flu injection in my arm, didn't I?
You'll still get it.
Yeah, but my arm won't. You know something? If that thing got stuck up your nose and you sneeze, you could kill somebody. You know that? Well, if you're going to sneeze, let me know and I'll duck.
Shut up, will you? I haven't got the energy.
Ah, tell that. You're not too well, I know that. You haven't written a play for 20 minutes?
No, but even a genius can catch flu, you know. I'll write 6 plays tomorrow.
Only 6?
I'm going out in the afternoon.
You became very big stars at the London Palladium some years ago.
Yeah.
We were with Bruce Forsyth when he was there. And
we just started to move up big then, you know.
As you were mentioning Ed Sullivan.
Yes.
You mentioned, I know that you in your early days, you had an appearance on his show, which was...
That came from the Palladium.
They saw us at the Palladium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were with Bruce Forsyth.
Oh, I see. They flew you out there and you were guest stars on his show.
That's right. Mm.
This is where he was very, very clever, Ed Sullivan. I mean, he really could... I don't know, he had an insight. It's one thing having talent, it's another thing being able to see talent, and he could see, obviously...
He saw us, and there was one thing that really attracted him. I don't know whether you remember it at all. We did a thing on TV with a paper bag. I used to throw nothing up and catch something.
Yeah.
What is it? A visual catch thing that we had. And he saw that, because we used to do it in the act at the Palladium. And that was really what he bought.
Oh, I see.
And we went over there and we based, because we only did about 4 or 5 minutes.
4 or 5 minutes.
And we based the act around that paper bag, which was very, very funny for them. And then we did another routine, because we did 3 shows with him there. That particular fortnight that we were there, we did 3 shows. And we did a judo routine, which we'd done for a long
time.
That
did very well. That was a good routine.
And another routine, which I've forgotten. But all in all, we've done about 14. We did about 14 Sullivan shows.
He introduces a three-handed act.
Yeah, Murrah, Camby and Wise. And here they are, ladies and gentlemen, a big hand for Murrah, Camby and Wise.
And another time, I must tell you about
I dropped
this.
The clubs as I came on.
And what was the other thing? He said, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here's a European act.
Yeah,
so
we objected to.
We said, excuse me, I don't know about the common market now, but we said, we're not Europeans. I said, we're British, you see. So the next time we went, they played Rule Britannia.
As we walked on.
And then our next ambition was to get our name in lights outside the Sullivan Theatre, where the show was on.
On Broadway.
On Broadway. We walked out, and there it was, Morecambe and Wise. We went and had a cup of coffee, and when we got back, they took it down. But at least it was there, wasn't it?
Well, you could say you've been in lights on Broadway.
Broadway, yes.
Not everybody can say that. The thing that we fail to understand in this country about the Americans is that they speak a different language.
And not only that, they're much slower than what we give them credit for.
Yeah, we think they're faster.
I was just going to say, we always think that the American image is
fast talking,
And there isn't. There's only somebody like Hope, and he was English, and... Maybe a couple of others that really work at that speed.
They do all the very slow timing, like Jack Benny, the long pauses and things.
I don't think they're very, very fast at all. No. And they told me, Sullivan always said to me, he said, oh, for Peter, will you do me a favour, will you slow down?
Hmm.
You know.
He can do
they don't understand the. They don't understand the accent. I mean, just any English accent.
I think we had a better chance over there because we have a slight American accent with being northern.
Mm.
The A is a little flatter or harder, and that helped.
The thing we did find was that Ed Sullivan liked us. His son-in-law, who used to present the show, Bob Precht, liked us very much. And the American audiences wanted to like us. They looked at us, they knew we were funny, they couldn't quite understand why, what, or where, yeah. But they knew we had it, whatever it was, but they couldn't quite...
I was never really happy over there because I didn't want to, at that age of, well, I'd be 40-odd then, at that age of going there and starting all over again, and I didn't want to do auditions anymore. I've done enough.
It came really. 10 years too late.
Yeah.
Mm. 10 years too late.
Would you like me to take the diamond out of the window so you can have a look? I'll bring it out here on a velvet pad.
Oh! yes, that's very kind. Well, I mean, if you have a rush on, we could call back.
No, there's no rush. My time is your time.
Very kind.
Is it for madam?
No, it's for her.
I get it out of the window.
What a nice man.
He's a QC.
QC?
Queer as a coot, he can't help it.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hasn't it been
gorgeous, isn't it? Put it on.
May I?
Yes, please do. Oh, dear,
I'm afraid it's a bit small. It won't go on my finger.
Don't worry, we can always have it made larger for you.
Can I ask you something?
Yes?
How can you make her finger larger?
How did you feel about making films? Because did you miss the audience?
No, always been a great ambition. I was never very happy with any of the films, or three of them. I was never really happy with them. I didn't think they were funny enough.
The comedy
Riviera one. Touch was quite
That
funny,
was the best one out of the three, I'm told. Mm. I didn't see the last one, but I remember doing it. And that was the Magnificent Two. I wasn't over keen.
We were too much like Abbott and Costello, in a way. It was all too spread out, the comedy. And it's so intense on the television. It's such a pace that the people got used to that concentrated comedy hurtling out the screen and the films.
So they always used to say to us, which is silly really now when you analyse it, they always used to say, well, you can't do that. That's television. And this is films.
Yes.
Now, well, how long ago was this? It'd be 6 years, wasn't it? 6, 7 years ago. You can't do that. You do that on television, you get a big laugh, but in the films, nothing. So we'd be advised by them, you know, take it out.
I'd say your wives must be very tolerant of you. They have a lot to put up with, really.
I would think so, yes. Mm. Yes, I would think they have, quite honestly.
And you're not afraid of doing the odd joke about them?
Good Lord, no. Mm-hmm. The reason I can do very good jokes about my wife, not very good jokes, but jokes about my wife, is because she's, to me, a lovely woman, and I love her, and she knows that, you know, and she can't help being a big girl. It's one of those things, you know.
It comes back to confidence.
Well, of course, you see. So
we seem to have a willy-nilly have developed a theme in this. That, life really depends on confidence. Yeah. And you're able to make jokes about each other.
Yes.
And know that you're fooling. Know that it's not meant seriously.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes.
And that's another great thing you have. Mm.
Yes.
But when you're not working, do you like to spend time together or away from each other?
Away, really.
Away, yes.
Because we work together such a lot that it's advantageous to us to stay separate.
Yes.
To lead our own lives.
But we rarely get away, do we?
No. But it's like after this, I'll probably go out, have a drink. Ernie's got to go see somebody else, you know, his bank manager. And he's not going to come with me for a drink, and he's going to go his way and I'm going to go my way. But
actually, I've got to see my bank manager. I want to speak to him about a loan, actually.
Yeah, how much of the country need?
does he want?
But people expect us to be together 24 hours a day.
Mind you, a lot of us...
we have got a big bed.
A lot of our company is based on my disabilities, you know. I'm a short, fat, hairy fellow. I've got short, fat, hairy legs, and I wear a wig. And you can't see.
No, it makes you out to be an absolute walking wreck.
Exactly. Yes, I'm a walking wreck. Yeah.
Only a little fellow, you know. Yeah.
From an audience.
Affectionately known as the little buckaroo.
Little buckaroo. There's a cag on that, isn't there? Yeah.
There must be somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
I think it's in there. I think it's in
there's
there.
There's a gag in there.
You've achieved a very high level of success. You're very popular, you must know that. Mm. Through the years, although you've had sort of ups and downs, and you've maintained a tremendous standard. What are you going to do next? Where do you want to take what you do together from here? And what do you want to do with your life?
Well, the first thing is a what I would consider a successful film. And we're getting back to the confidence again. If I consider it, that I think it's going to be a success, then I can do it well, or we can do it well. We can do a good film if we have the confidence in the writing and the production and the direction. If we've got that confidence, then I feel that we can do a very good film. And that is the next achievement, as far as I'm concerned.
But that's
we're going to make a U certificate, I'll tell you that.
A U film, yes.
That's the first thing we're going to do, is make a U certificate.
Our difficulty has been, actually, is finding something to hang on to. You see, in the case of the other films, like Dad's Army, there is a definite situation there.
On the buses.
On the buses, definite situation. We haven't got a definite situation. We've only got what we are. We don't do...
The others are acting.
Yes. We are selling ourselves.
Well, don't you feel the urge to do what is known in the trade as situation comedy, the half-hour storyline like Dad's Army or On the Buses?
Well, we feel this is asking for trouble.
We're slightly agin it, you know.
But wouldn't this help you with your films, though, if you did that?
But, we'd have to do a situation story for the film anyway. So there's no reason why we should do situation on television just to do a situation on the film.
No, that's true.
Really.
The approach of the film is a very big problem. But to identify ourselves with the TV and also make a film.
See, we do on the TVs, we do the flat routine. Mm. Every now and again, we're in our flat, you know. Now, there is a situation in itself for the film, just for argument's sake. Yeah. We could... the whole springboard could be from the flat. We could make that real, the flat, in a film. We could make it look real. We could have jobs. We could have neighbours, people, and spring from that. I'm not saying that we will.
No, but, I can see what you mean. Yes,
that is the nearest thing that we have got in our show to a situation.
One of the sketches I liked most of yours in recent months on television was the sketch where the premise was that 20 years have gone by.
Oh, yes.
And that's right, yes. And I married this.
And it's become a great success, and it's somewhere else, and that you are down to the last crust.
Yes. That's right.
And the last shilling for the gas meter.
And he was a landlord of the place where
now,
was.
That was pure Eddie Braben, wasn't it?
He was our writer. Though,
Eddie Braben. That was pure, that was absolutely him.
We were never sure about that, really.
Well, I thought it was terribly funny. Mm. I mean, because the idea...
Oh, I did when I saw it. I thought it was excellent. But reading it for the first time, we were a bit, I don't know, you know.
Do you have much of that? Do you find doubts in your material often?
Oh, good Lord, I'm not sure we should have come here.
We shouldn't even be talking to you.
There's a lot of people saying that.
We'll have doubts, yes.
But one of the other great things, which I believe also came from an Eddie Braben idea, is your plays. You're always talking about the plays that you write.
Pure Eddie Braben. And gave me a lovely slot for my personality, which is conceit and egotistical, you know, sort of... and everything I do is very superior, as if I've got the greatest talent in the world. You know,
the greatest writing brain.
I'm so confident in that. That it's
and if you analyse them, they're rubbish, you know, which is marvellous, but he doesn't know that they're rubbish.
Oh, yeah. And neither do you.
Well, I'm not quite sure, but the rest of the world know.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to talk to you.
Well, we can't wait till after the match.
By the time you get back from the match, I won't be here.
Oh! Well, that's something to look forward to in case we lose.
I'm serious, I won't be here.
Gonna get your hair done?
No.
Give it to me if you like, I'll drop it in on the way to the match. Short back and sides on the way in.
Now that's enough.
Collect it when I come out of the game.
That's enough.
Oh.
Read that.
Telegram.
That's right, telegram. Read it.
When did you get that?
Why, you were in the bath.
You've had that for 6 months and never told me.
Oh. Now stop the joking and read that telegram.
I don't like telegrams.
You don't like telegrams?
No.
Why not?
It reminds me of the telegram my mother got during the war. From the war office.
Really?
My dad was missing.
Sorry to hear that.
So was an army truck and 48 cases of corned beef.
It really is a a sign of your status in the business that you can pick any guest you want and they'll be pleased to work with you. Is that right?
Well, at the moment, yes.
We've had some of the finest actors and actresses there are in show business.
And some of them have been absolutely wonderful.
Well, Glenda, for one. Glenda Jackson was absolutely fantastic working with her.
She worked beautifully, yes.
Because it was like working with no disrespect, it was like working with a variety artist.
You'd have thought she'd have been...
And that's the highest accolade I can give anybody, believe me.
You'd have thought really she'd have been 20 years doing
sketches. A comedian,
you know. Really? Marvellous, yes. She really got the feel. And Francis Matthews was excellent, too.
But Paul Temple.
Paul Temple, yeah. Eric Porter was marvellous, wasn't
Marvellous, yes.
It seems to be that
last Christmas it was, wasn't it? Yes, last Christmas we did that Eric Porter dance routine.
Oh, yes, we talked him into a dance routine.
Oh, we conned him into it. It took us 3 weeks to talk him into it. Mm. And 2 weeks, 2 hours a day to rehearse it.
Yeah. If my friends could see me now. We did a full Hollywood Busby Barclay, you know, routine with the straw hats and the sticks.
But he wasn't sure.
He was correct.
He was marvellous in it, but he wasn't sure at the beginning. And then he saw it, and it was great.
I remember another great success in your show was Dame Flora Robson.
Well,
you wouldn't think that she offhand would be the sort of person who would join in with you, but she seemed to be absolutely perfect, as if she'd been working as your stooge for years.
Well, I think she's interested. She was sort of interested in Eric and I because years ago, we were at
Hume Hippodrome,
and we were staying in the same digs in Manchester. And she was
Mrs. McKay, 11 Daisy Avenue,
and. On the one side, have you been there? Have you stayed there?
No. Yeah. Oh, well, you're the only one that hasn't.
On the one side, you've got variety sort of thing, and on the other side, you've got the street actors. And
Mrs. McKay had a detached house, and on one side, she put the street artists, and on the other side of the house, she put the variety artists.
Yes. And the Berlin Wall in between.
And the Berlin Wall in between, you know. And we just used to see each other over the top of this wall.
Yeah.
I really never saw anybody with a higher wall than him, you know.
But Flora Rotson, Dame Flora Rotson, was appearing in a play. This is years ago, and suddenly she got terribly interested, and she actually came over to Hume Hippodrome to see Eric and I.
Yeah,
really.
And we've always, ever since... there's always been that little relationship, and finally it's born.
It blossomed.
It's blossomed, yeah.
That's splendid. But I thought she was marvellous.
She was great. Yeah. Knock-up.
You see, we need the great dignity. One needs the person to come and who's got the great presence, and then we can bounce off it all the time. That's what we need.
And I can ruin it all, you see.
And yes. Well, I'm as good as the actor and actress. I mean, I'm on the same plane as them, talking on the same intellectual situation where Eric's at the back, sort of. Yeah.
I think it's another lovely thing that you're both able to get laughs. I mean, you both get laughs in quite separate ways.
You see, this is only just starting to develop.
Mm.
You see, before, it was straight man and comic. You know, Ernie was a Welma boy. Ben Warris always used to call himself a Welma boy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he always used to say to Jimmy, oh, I see,
Welma boy.
What happened then? You know. And a straight man is a Welma boy, which Ernie was. And it was a pardon, and then what happened? Oh, I see, yes, what, oh, and that's all it was, you know. And the comic used to get the laughs. And gradually, both Sid and Dick and Eddie Braben have given Ernie a character.
Actually, I don't think you could survive as... comic and straight man. I don't think you could survive as in the top bracket. I mean, even Sid James and Tony Hancock were both comic, weren't they?
Yes, that's true.
I mean, two different levels of comedy. My level of comedy isn't the same as Eric's, really. It's totally different, I think, anyway.
Yeah, I think what is so enjoyable in your television shows is that both sorts of humour come out very strongly.
Yes, that's right.
And it must give you a tremendous chance to develop.
Yeah.
But... I see time is catching up with us.
Oh, don't worry about that. Keep going.
Keep going. I've run out of questions.
Oh, have you? Oh, you don't get the cards.
You don't think for one minute anybody's listening to this, do you?
Well, the engineer's gone home.
Oh, has he? Oh, lovely. We'll get the drinks on the card, aren't we?
Right,
have a real deal.
Yes, right. You deal, I'll...
Hey, you deal and I'll drink.
That was the best of British Laughs, in which Morecambe and Wise were talking about their lives and views on the world of comedy to Barry Took. The Best of British Laughs is produced by John Browell.